Have you already started planning your Christmas presents for your family and friends? You know, a lot of people have. Some people started earlier than October in doing that. It's kind of amazing to me that that happens. And you don't want to be cheap, you know. You want to give nice gifts to people because you honor them so much. So I might suggest that you consider giving them a luxury car. Like a Lamborghini, for instance. It only costs $550,000. And you're going to need to have a stocking stuffer. So maybe you need to get some special car wax for that Lamborghini. I recommend one called Definitive Wax Marble. It sells for $37,000 per container. Okay? Or there are cheaper gifts, if you're that way. For those who have everything. For instance, there's a Chanel 22 black carbon fiber logo frisbee. It goes for only $7,360. That's a real bargain, don't you think? Or if you're on a really tight budget, you could consider a nostalgia yo-yo by Sonobu Komoto. It's only $5,000. So get one for each of your grandchildren and all your great-grandchildren as well, okay? It's hard for me to imagine that some people spend that kind of money on gifts like that, but they do. It's hard for me to imagine having that kind of money to spend, but some people do. I wonder, however, if they would even be interested in the absolutely most valuable gift of all. Jesus Christ. It is a gift of such worth that we can't measure it. It's priceless. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." We remember him and we honor him today as we come to the Lord's table. As you know, it's World Communion Sunday. Christians all over the world are celebrating this sacrament today. It's a very special day in many Protestant churches. It used to be called Worldwide Communion Sunday, and it began in a Presbyterian church in 1933 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and it spread to other churches around the region, and then around the country, and then around the globe. 90 years ago today, it started, and it's still going and growing. And today, because of it, denominational walls come down. Dividing walls between churches come down. And those divisions between Christians, brothers and sisters, those walls also come down today. When this observance is pure, when this observance is truly holy, whatever walls that may exist between you and anyone else here will come down. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I mean, let's face it, with any church, there are divisions among people. They should not be there, but they are there. I mean, sometimes they're caused by personality clashes. You know, maybe I rub you the wrong way. Maybe you rub me the wrong way. And sometimes we have divisions because of egos. I don't have that problem, but some people do have problems with ego. And sometimes there are walls because of financial status. Some people don't have as much as others and they get jealous. Or maybe someone dared to sit in your chair where you sit every Sunday morning beside the same people week after week. How dare they? That's just a short list of realities and irritations that can happen. Most of them are trivial, right? They're trivial. But they can come between Christians. They can happen. Holy Communion is an observance that should break down all of those walls and barriers that we tend to build up, those silly walls. We call it communion. Some other people call it the Lord's Supper. Others call it the Eucharist. That comes from a Greek word, Eucharistia. And that word literally means thanksgiving, because it says in the Bible that Jesus gave thanks for the bread and for the wine before he distributed it. And others call it the Passover meal. And that's because it did take place during the feast of Passover in Jerusalem. Some other people call it a sacrament, and some others call it an ordinance. And there's probably other titles. Well, which one is correct? Which one is correct? Well, the answer, of course, is the one that's in the Bible. And you might be surprised to know that the word communion is not in the Bible. Neither is the word sacrament. Neither is the word Eucharist. Well, the word ordinance is in the Bible, but it's in the Old Testament and has nothing to do with the Lord's table. But the term the Lord's Supper is in the Bible. And let me read it to you. It's found in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 17. Paul said to the early church in Corinth, he said, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which one of you have God's approval. When you come together," here it comes, "when you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat in and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. Oy vey." I added that last part. That last part's not there. What a mess. What a mess he was describing. At least we don't have any of those problems, but to be very literalistic, we are not having the Lord's Supper here today either. So what is it? Well, let's continue to be literal. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. He said, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" So Paul's answer is that it is a participation. That just doesn't sound right, does it? Welcome to Worldwide Participation Sunday. It just doesn't ring true. Like many others, we have adopted a term. The term is communion, a term that's not in the Bible explicitly, but it's definitely in the Bible implicitly. However, you may not want to know the origin of the word communion, because it comes from a Greek philosopher by the name of Epicurus. And if you have heard of Epicurus, you've heard of excess. Epicurus was 300 years before Jesus Christ, and he is the one who used the word communion. It comes from a Latin word, and that Latin word means sharing in common. And it is a sharing in common. Look at it this way. Holy Communion is an act of sharing close relationship and fellowship, a time of unity. Unity with whom? Fellowship with whom? Closeness with whom? Well, there are two obvious answers to that. First, with Jesus. And second, with one another, If you leave here today, are you listening? Eyes up. If you leave here today without experiencing either of those, then you only went through the motions and you did not really have communion. This observance is one of the greatest mysteries that we have in our faith because it perfectly combines sorrow and joy. A sorrow over the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and joy over the perfect love that came through that sacrifice. Pastor John Piper said that the purpose of communion is to receive from Christ nourishment and strength and hope and joy. And that's all true. But that is only a part of this equation. There is another part. It is also giving to Christ. Your commitment and your recommitment to Him. Receiving and giving. If you leave here today without both of those happening, then you're just going through the motions and you're not really having communion. Some people have been known to ask, how many times do I need to recommit myself to the Lord? The answer is simple. 60. 60 times a minute. Or 1,440 times a day. That's how often. Someone said that being in Christ means that we share common union. Communion. You see what they did there? Common union with one another. Unity. Unity. It's almost like a jigsaw puzzle. Do you like to put together jigsaw puzzles? And you know, hardly any piece of that jigsaw puzzle makes any sense by itself until you connect it with another piece in the right place. And then, and only then, does the total picture come into view. Beautiful. Beautiful. And that describes the family of God. We're all just pieces that don't make sense until we come together and we make a beautiful picture together. Have you ever gotten to the very end of a jigsaw puzzle and one piece is missing? And you think, where is it? You go on this hunt for that piece. You just got to have that piece, right? Well, think what it's like in the body of Christ if one person is missing. There are people missing here today. We should be eager to stay with them and connect with them and pray for them and know what's happening in their lives. Just like that important piece of the puzzle. Because the picture isn't together until we're all connected in some way. I want to tell you a remarkable story. It's a true story, remarkable true story about a 22-year-old girl by the name of Tammy Harris. This happened in Roanoke, Virginia in 1991, where Tammy was working in a convenience store. Tammy had been adopted as a baby. And she decided now at the age of 22 to look for her birth mother. It did not go well because the courts would not open any information about her birth parents. For a year, she tried to get that information. She couldn't get it. So she wrote a letter to the editor of the Roanoke Times and World News describing her frustration. And the next day, at work, she was telling one of her co-workers about the letter and the search, and another co-worker was nearby listening and overheard the conversation. That other co-worker was named Joyce Schultz, and she was quite interested because when she was a young girl, social services had taken her children away. And that was nearly 20 years prior, and she had been searching for her children for years. She understood the frustration that Tammy was going through. So they got together after work, and they began to compare notes with one another and experiences. And the more that they talked, the more that some details began to fall into place. And when they looked at their birth certificates, lo and behold, they discovered that Joyce was Tammy's mother. They had been working side by side for 6 months, and they had no idea, but God put that together miraculously. They cried out in joy, and they hugged one another and clung to each other, absolutely overwhelmed with this gift from God. They lived two blocks apart from one another, and being co-workers together, they had no idea that they were actually mother and daughter. Christians come to church and they sit in the same seat every Sunday. That's the second time I've talked about that. And I dare you to come in next Sunday and fake me out. Just sit somewhere else. Christians come to church every Sunday. They sit in the same seat beside the same person. And they don't have any idea of the depth of relationship that they have with those people beside them. One of the reasons that they don't is that, well, I'm not talking about mother and daughter, by the way. I'm talking about brother and sister. I'm talking about brother and brother. I'm talking about sister and sister. You don't have any idea of the relationship you have with each other because you only spend 60 minutes with each other. And many of us don't even think about the other person for the rest of the week. We don't talk to them. We don't call them on the phone. We don't text them. We don't pray for them. We don't visit them. We don't have meals with them. I have no idea what's happening in their life all during this other 167 hours in the week. I just met them at church and sit beside them every week. That's kind of the way it is with Joyce and Tammy. They just didn't realize. The picture is not complete, brothers and sisters, until you make it complete. And don't tell me that's not true of you. Don't tell me. And me. It's true. We may sing, we are one in the bond of love, but we tend to live differently. Many among the most faithful of us here have absolutely no connection with one another during the week. And when we do have the opportunity to come together in Holy Communion as we are today, it's a time of bonding, first with Jesus and then with one another. And if we come up short in either of those, we're just going through the motions. And we're not really having communion. Communion is a sacred time of looking back, looking around, and looking forward. First, looking back. The same is true of the monuments that are on the National Mall in downtown D.C., or the monuments that are on the fields of Gettysburg. Looking back to those who sacrificed so that we could have freedoms. That is what Jesus Christ did. As John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and of you and me." No one can set us free like Jesus. No one can set us free like Jesus. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we don't just look back, we look around. And we've been talking about that practically since the beginning here, common union. We've been talking about looking around at each other. If you were to look around this room right now and turn around and look at each other around this room with your spiritual eyes open, you would see sinners. Sinners, saved by grace, just like you. But the question is the value of that grace? Is it cheap grace? Or is it priceless grace? Cheap grace is when you accept His forgiveness without confessing your sins to Him and repenting. If you do that, you're not really having communion. There was a communion service that was being held at a church, and everything was going just the same way as it always did. The routine did not change at all. But then the pastor noticed that one woman was not accepting the bread or the wine. Instead, she was sitting there weeping and crying and rocking and overwhelmed with feelings of being unworthy for this table. Nobody else in the congregation was showing any emotion at all, just her. And the pastor left the platform, and he went down to her, and he placed his hand on her shoulder, and he said, "Please, accept this bread. Accept this wine. It's for sinners. And you are showing that you may be the most worthy person in this room right now." That's what this table is about. A broken body for a broken person who needs to be put back together 60 times a minute. Perhaps you feel that way about yourself right now, that you're not worthy. Well, welcome to the table. We look back at His sacrifice. We look around at sinners who are saved by grace, sinners for whom He died. And we also look forward. This is 1 Corinthians 11:26. Paul said, "For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Of course, He has not returned yet. So we come to this table again and again, looking forward to that day when He will come. And every time we do, we get a little closer and a little closer and a little closer to that event. I remember when I was a young schoolboy, and I'll bet you'll identify with this. I really loved the months of September and October in school because they were so close to a bunch of holidays when we got time off from school and didn't have to go to school. I loved that. But then came January and February, the cold, dark, long winter months, less daylight, and it just seemed to drag along until Easter, of course. But then sometimes Easter came early, and if it came early, that meant there was more time until school finally got out at the end of the school year. What a downer. It just dragged, you know, just dragged. And frankly, life can feel that way sometimes. You know it and I know it. Sometimes life can feel like a big drag. But every time you come to this sacrament, you get closer and closer and closer to graduation. Free. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. School is out, and you've graduated, and you've gone to eternity. This is a step along the way. Let me conclude with this. It is so easy to establish routines in our lives. I do it, you do it. We sleep at certain times. We eat at certain times. We do the laundry on certain days. We watch our favorite TV shows at certain times, et cetera, et cetera. And then we just repeat it again next week. We just do the same things over and over. It's comforting in some ways. It is just as easy to come to the Lord's table and just repeat a ritual that we've always done the same way, routine, rather than embracing the enormous realities that are within it. That is why I decided today to change the routine, big time, at least for this World Communion Sunday. And my sincere hope, brothers and sisters, is that it will encourage you and help you to examine yourself more closely and to look back and around and forward with your spiritual eyes opened more deeply and enter into the Holy of Holies with our Lord and with one another. I'll explain the process as we go, but for now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, how I thank you for this opportunity that you have given us again to sit at your feet. To receive your love and to give you our love. May you be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.